Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
All right, everybody, welcome to Freed on Business. It's another COVID-19 episode, but we've got some great stuff. We're not going to be all here with our face coverings and all that other stuff. What we're going to do today is we're going to give you an update on staying positive in our doggy search, and then we're just going to go all green today. Said that just for you, Jeff. All green. We've got a big green day today. We've got my good friend, Jeff Green, the aptly named Jeff Green. He's the head of the Florida Hemp Council. We'll talk to him, and then we'll have Manny Johnson talk to us, giving us the farmer's perspective on Florida's new hemp laws. Florida's leading the way on hemp. We're going to talk about that. But first, Becca, why don't you tell me what's going on social with Freed on Business?
Hey, Jim. It's great to see you and great to be here with you today. A wonderful happy Wednesday to you. And it's not even snowing here in Chicago, so it's a pretty exciting day for us. Now, hopefully, people who have been watching and paying attention to what's going on social have been able to see our amazing St. Bernard Rescue. You know, St. Bernard's Rescue, just like Sandstone does. Sandstone provides residential rescue loans. Sandstone provides hard money lending. And we have this amazing mascot, but he's been needing a name. So what we've done is we've narrowed it down to the top five names. And now we need people to vote. This is a democratic organization, and we want to get the feedback and the interest of everybody who wants to participate. So if you go to the Freedom Business website, there's a column on the right-hand side that has a picture of our puppy and then a link to go ahead and submit your vote. And those will also be on social media. So whether you follow Jim on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere, we're going to make sure that they have a great opportunity for people to vote and participate in naming our amazing rescue dog.
Thank you, Rebecca Carlson, our social media and marketing team leader, who's based in Chicago, which tells you, I mean, we haven't even really met in person yet, have we?
No,
but oh, that's hilarious. I've known you for like 3 years now. So that's the power that we have here at Freedom Business. That's our team. It's a national team. And we have Andreas. He's in Connecticut. So we have all kinds of great people everywhere. Reagan's here in Miami. But let's go now. We're going to go to quick break. Thank the folks at Warren Henry for sponsoring us. And then we're going to be right back with Jeff Green from the Florida Hemp Council. Farmers, be ready. We're going to learn how you're going to make money coming right up. So stick with us. We're going to improve your life right now. Reagan, it's yours.
Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain. Love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Get your motor running. Head out on the high.
Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you. Be bold.
Be different.
Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Freed. I'm the founder of Sandstone Realty Advisors. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why would you do that? Well, I help families all across South Florida execute their real estate plans. I recently helped one family in downtown Miami sell their land to one of the big national developers. I helped another client up in Fort Lauderdale. He needed to liquefy his portfolio. We did that for him in less than a month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
If I leave here tomorrow.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and on the break, I continue to attempt to change the world and shape the world by helping people get together with food and PPE and voting rights and all this other stuff. My gosh, I'm just a political animal. So let's talk about some great stuff that's been going on in Florida with people actually keeping their promise. We have a new hemp regulation, so high five to the Department of Agriculture and the state of Florida for getting their rules all done up. I'm going to just turn it over to the expert, Jeff Green. Jeff, welcome to the show. Please tell me what's going on with him.
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot. We've got commercial licenses going live on Monday. Presuming that all of our farmers were able to get their background checks, they will be able to get their licenses applied for on Monday. So it's a big day coming up.
Now, we've still got a statewide shutdown. How are people going to start registering? Are they going to get in line or just submit? What's going to happen there?
So the one issue that we're having is because of the shutdown, background checks have been a little bit more complicated. We've partnered with our member Fast Fingerprint Florida to get all of the farmers that want to register. You can go to our Florida Hemp Council website and Facebook pages, see a video on how to get your fingerprints done. But once that's done, you can go online. You do not have to stand in line. Everything will be online.
Well, that's tremendous. Now, if people don't grow hemp now, what's the difference between growing hemp and growing like vegetable crops or something like that?
Primary difference is if you grow hemp and you don't do it right, you're growing marijuana and you can get arrested.
Well, obviously no one wants to get arrested, but is there similarities between hemp and regular plants, or is there a whole big technical thing that people have to learn like a book?
Well, hemp is a plant. So, and technically it's a weed. So it grows, in just about anything. What we don't know is how many of the varieties are going to grow in Florida and be USDA THC compliant. That's the real question at this point.
Now, hemp is really a marijuana plant that's low in THC, right?
Hemp is cannabis sativa with less than 0.3% THC. So, yes, the answer is yes.
So then what happens if, you know, I guess that what they do is if it's over that, they call it hot.
Correct.
What happens if something gets hot? Is there ways to make it less hot?
There are some anecdotal mitigation strategies for bringing the THC level back down. But if it's tested and it's found hot, you have to destroy the crop.
Okay.
Right now. Our hope is to be able to redefine the word destruction.
Okay. Now, somebody's grown hemp. It's consistent with the state. I got to stop using my hands. It's consistent with the state. It's consistent with the state regulations, which means it's less than what percent?
Less than 0.3% total THC.
Okay, so it's compliant. I've now got a crop.
Yep.
I've now harvested it.
Yep.
What am I going to do with it now?
So in Florida right now, we've got 7 licensed extraction facilities. So you can either take your crop to those extraction facilities by contract or by partnership, and have that processed down to a distillate, a crude, or an isolate.
Wow. Okay. So then I'm getting it, and I get it, and I make it into a product. Now, is the product? I guess the term might be white label. Can I sell it to, like I see behind you, Veritas is one of your clients? Do they buy third party? I mean, how does all that work?
Well, Veritas is a vertical company, so they grow all their own hemp. But for some of our other members, yes, the goal is for Florida manufacturers that are currently buying their raw materials from Kentucky or Colorado or California to start buying Florida-based ingredients.
Now, Florida-based ingredients, to sell a product that's CBD, that contains CBD, and you sell it in Florida, does it have to have CBD that's made in Florida? Does it have to have CBD that rates at a certain quality for Florida? How does that work?
So it doesn't right now, because there technically has never been CBD made in Florida. It doesn't have to contain CBD grown in Florida, but it does have to have third party full panel testing to make sure that there are no contaminants or particulates that are dangerous to consumers. And that has to be visible on the packaging by a QR code so that consumers can go and look at that.
Okay, so I have a medical marijuana card. I'm a high stress person. I have a really bad back. My leg is permanently numb. I qualified. The guy walked in. I brought my bag of opioids. He says, "You qualify."
Okay.
I don't really take opioids. I take nerve pain medicine. Where are we headed with that? Because this is a complement to that. I was prescribed the CBD, and I found that it helps me, that I've actually stopped using a couple of over-the-counter medicines.
Right. And I mean, the beautiful thing about medical marijuana is you've got the 13 ailments that technically qualify you to take it. Per FDA, we're not allowed to tell you what CBD does. But what the same thing that happens to you happens to most people. It helps you, so you continue to buy it. We're the first billion-dollar industry that sells products that we cannot tell consumers what it does.
Yeah, I mean, so we're not really doing that today. What we're doing is just talking about anecdotal information. And let's talk in general now. The Florida Hemp Council, we're Florida. Florida's been is sort of a newcomer to this. What are some of the lessons that you've learned in some of the other marketplaces that you're trying to bring to Florida as best practices?
That's a great question, Jim. What we've seen in both Kentucky and Colorado is a rash of bankruptcies due to an overabundance without a good plan. The extractors in those states spent millions of dollars building an infrastructure and then went into contract with farmers with unrealistic contracts that were unmanageable, and the result was the crash of the pricing, which caused the bankruptcies.
So I've always said that the number one business to be in the marijuana business is the workout business. You just proved me right on that one. But I think that going forward with the historic experiences that people have had in other places, that perhaps we won't make those same mistakes here. What are some of the differences in Florida's laws as opposed to some of the other states that will help Florida mitigate some of its risk?
Through the efficient regulation of Florida, making sure that everybody is licensed, we know now where, like for instance, because of the regulations, we know that there's 7 licensed extraction facilities. Had those not had to be licensed, they would have been essentially out there, you know, on their own trying to market their products. Because the Florida Hemp Council has been created to promote those companies, we now have an instrument to be able to go out and make sure that the farmer meets the extractor meets the manufacturer meets the retailer, and of course the retailer sells to the consumer. That's the goal.
Now, I'm looking behind you and I'm looking at some of your members on your board and I'm seeing Southeastern Grocers.
Yes.
I'd like to kind of talk about what the future of hemp is in mass production, in the grocers, in the food stores, and stuff like that. We're up against the break. Would it be possible for you to stick with me for another segment, Jeff?
Sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, Regan, take us away. Let's say hello to Larry's in and the folks at Warren Henry. Remember, everybody, Warren Henry's got this COVID special stuff going on. So go to Warren Henry. They give great service and they got special pricing. Regan, take it away.
Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, the 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. That's right. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Need to sell your urban land? I can help with that too. I have friends and clients all across the country that are just waiting to help you capitalize your real estate transaction. Want to finance your high-rise residential project? Just raised $15 million from an institutional pension fund to do that. That's right. It's different every time because your project isn't the same as everybody else's. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you. Another one bites the dust.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
I just love doing this because I get to meet such really cool, cutting-edge people, and we talk about stuff that's going to happen, and that's what we're doing today. We're on with Jeff Green. Jeff is the – are you the founder, Jeff?
You're one of the founders, yes.
Jeff is one of the founders of the Florida Hemp Council, which is an overall trade group that's helping modernize the approach to hemp farming and hemp distribution and hemp products here in Florida. They're taking lessons from all across the country to make sure Florida gets it right. So, Jeff, we were talking a little bit about your board members, and I see behind you that you've got Southeastern Grocers. Tell me a little bit about why a grocery-related firm would want to be involved with the Hemp Council.
Well, Jim, the grocery store has a lot of different hemp products, including hemp seeds, which are grass-certified, generally regarded as safe. And part of the language of during the last session we had to pass was making sure that those grass certified products didn't have to go through the same rigorous testing that like CBD did. And so that was part of the reason that the Southeastern Grocers joined us, was to make sure that we were on. And now they also carry six manufacturers products that are topical CBD products. So they are getting into the space, as they deem it legal. They want to make sure that they're, coming into the market. Pretty much once you see products on the Winn-Dixie shelf, you believe it's safe whether it is or not. And that's their responsibility, is to make sure that they bring in products that are not going to harm the consumer.
Now, that's a tremendous focus. That's a really important idea. How do they do that? How do they know that these products that they're putting on their shelves are safe? Do they put them through a secondary level of independent testing? What goes on with that?
Yeah, the process for those six manufacturers to get on the Winn-Dixie shelf, from what I understand from Sarah, took about a year. They put them through the ringer to make sure that the companies that are in there do their labels properly, manufacture their products properly, buy their bottles properly. We've got a big problem in this industry with manufacturers not using food grade containers. We've seen lead leaching from painted bottles, things like that. So making sure that all of these manufacturers are doing best practices.
Now, do you work with the Department of Agriculture? I heard you're working with the state representatives. I got to believe that you guys go up there and talk to everybody that's involved. Let me ask you this. They've got a marijuana czar up there, a Holly Bell. How is she doing with this?
I talk to Holly quite frequently. She is certainly working more on the hemp side than the marijuana side, because the Florida Department of Agriculture manages the hemp side. The Department of Health manages the medical marijuana side. I would say that between your niece and Holly, they're doing a tremendous job at Tallahassee.
High five, testimonial, unsolicited. Thank you. Yeah, she really is. One of the things that I wanted to mention since you brought it up is how with all this dysfunctional COVID-19 stuff going on and the absolute freeze everywhere, that they were still able to roll out their regulations. I thought that was really actually an administrative coup for the Department of Agriculture and the entire team there. This is not a one-person effort.
100%. I mean, we've gotten over 5,000 retailers licensed. We've gotten over 200 manufacturers licensed. Obviously, the 7 extraction facilities licensed. We've got wholesalers. We've got distributors. They've done a tremendous job under the circumstances, getting everybody ready to go for this ultimate launch of getting the farmers off the ground on Monday.
Now, let's say a farmer gets in Monday, they navigate their way, and they want to get ready to go. I've read some of the stuff and some comments on this stuff, and it seems like there's still some issues. I'll give you one that's, to me, perhaps the biggest issue, which is the ability to know you got quality seeds to plant this stuff. Because if you don't got the right seeds, you'll end up with something hot or something wrong, or it doesn't grow here. How are they working on all of that stuff and getting the right seeds to the right people? I guess it's sort of even a blockchain thing.
Yeah, I mean, the right seeds versus qualified seeds are probably two different things. You know, one of the things that we've been working on as a nonprofit is trying to put a collaborative research plan together with the university to make sure that really all of the different varieties come into Florida. And we really don't know. The University of Florida has tested 40 or 50 varieties. Florida A&M has tested a few varieties. And what we don't know is whether or not the myriad of seeds that are out there are going to grow in Florida. And then secondarily, we don't know if those seeds are really even owned by the people that are selling them. This has been a black market industry for so long that the most unstable part of the entire industry is the genetics.
Wow. You know, and let's talk about that for a minute, because just as a natural person that grew up here and has lived in Gainesville, Orlando, Tampa, and Miami, those are three different temperates and environments. So I got to figure something down here in Miami, which has a legitimate 4-grow cycle, versus something in Pensacola or Tallahassee, which might have a 3-grow cycle. And then you got to keep them separate and all this other stuff. There's a whole lot of technology involved. How do people get information on how to become a hemp farmer? Can you help them with that?
Yeah, you go to the Florida Hemp Council website, you sign up as a member, and we walk you through it. It's not a 2-minute thing that I can talk to you about as far as getting involved. But what I can tell you is that we've got a lot of enthusiasm. We've got over 800 farmers that we've registered that we anticipate that are going to be getting licensed. We've got hundreds of different manufacturers, thousands of retailers. It's going to be a major market in Florida.
I'm very excited. Now I want to ask you a question that I get asked all the time, and I'm going to just say it the way I get asked.
Okay.
My friend Omar, he inherited 75 acres up by Lake Okeechobee. He goes, Jim, I want to become a hemp farmer. I go, dude, you're a financial analyst. You're not a hemp farmer. Come on now. What's the path to success or failure for somebody like that?
Ideally, what you're going to do is everybody's got a cousin. You know, it used to be everybody had a cousin in Miami. Now everybody's got a cousin in Colorado. And I think that the smartest thing that most of these guys with agricultural property in Florida can do is, again, work with the Florida Hemp Council to get partnered up with consultants to make sure that you do it right.
You know, now that's another thing. And here's another idea. And I don't know if this is just off of the top of my little creative mind right now. But maybe there's people that'll actually come in and do the whole vertical part for you. You got the land, you give them the land, and they come in and they farm it, and they do the whole thing, and they give you a cut. I'm thinking sort of like, here I go, one of my favorite shows, Gold Rush on Discovery. Ah, you like that too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I love that show. But you see, they pay them a cut, an override, a minerals rights fee. So maybe there's a way where somebody can do something like that here. Reverse tenant farming, I guess you might call it.
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen so far over the last couple of years is there is currently a group out of Sebring, Florida, that's doing 5-acre co-ops. There's a group in Miami that's doing consulting where they'll come out and farm your property for a cut. We've got a group in Central Florida that wants to grow fiber, so they brought in a decortication machine, and they want folks to grow fiber, which really the economics of fiber is much more unknown than the CBD market. At least, even with the crash, at least you know what you can make in the CBD market. In the fiber market, nobody really knows anything.
I got to believe the CBD market spiked up after all of this. The fiber market's probably going to be a little bit unusual. And by the way, I have a friend of mine that's in the fabric industry, so I'm happy to put him together with your hemp guys.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Now, there's all kinds of CBD products coming. When I was at the Miami Art Festival, I was there with Veritas. They were putting some experimental hemp infusions into some of the products, and then they were selling, they were giving away fudge. You know, it's interesting. You infuse fudge with CBD. I guess they're not infusing it with THC, so it's not going to make you hungrier, but it is kind of funny the way they do that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the anecdotal benefits of CBD is reduces stress, reduces anxiety, and reduces inflammation. And if, if that's the case, but, I've seen it in ridiculous things. I mean, having CBD in your shampoo or having CBD in your pillowcase, I'm not sure as effective.
No, but like I said, I used to take a couple of over-the-counter things because I'm getting old, and the CBD has actually replaced it, which it may be a little bit more expensive, but it's natural.
Right, right.
So we've only got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about what the future of the CBD industry and the opportunity is. Let's now talk, it's 5 years from now.
Okay.
What's the state of Florida and the hemp industry going to look like 5 years from now?
Wow, 5 years from now, I suspect we're going to have a recreational marijuana industry partnered with a hemp industry. I think that the cannabinoids have been researched. The FDA has made a decision on how they want to regulate it. The market has stabilized. The big guys are coming in. And the craft guys are also being successful because they've cut out their niche. But yeah, I think that the market's going to be it's a disruptive plant. I believe that this plant is going to come in and disrupt cotton. It's going to disrupt the pharmaceutical industry. It's going to disrupt the oil industry, and the oil industry's got enough problems. So I mean, it's really going to be a disruptive opportunity, and over the next 5 years, I truly believe you're just going to see this thing explode.
Well, we're really excited about that opportunity. We're really thankful that you came on the show to talk to us about it, Jeff. And I hope you'll come back again in a few months to tell us how the rollout's going and maybe bring one of your farmers along that can talk about everything.
Would love to do that. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. That's Jeff Green. He's one of the founders of the Florida Hemp Council. I want to thank our friends at Duray for bringing Jeff onto the show. And Jeff, thank you so much for being part of the hemp community.
I appreciate you having me, and look forward to coming on in a few months to tell you how we're doing.
Sounds great. All right, Reagan, take it away. We've got Manny Johnson hanging out in the weeds. Manny Johnson's a farmer. He's been farming hemp across the globe, actually. We're going to talk to Manny about his experiences with distribution of different products, what he sees about the future of hemp and distribution here in Florida. We're going to talk to him about what his scientists say, and he knows the guys at UF, Jeff, so maybe you want to stick around and listen to what Manny has to say. Yeah. We'll be right back. Reagan, let's go sell some cars to our friends at Warren Henry. And oh, by the way, Warren Henry Service Department is open, ready for business, and they've got specials.
Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Get your motor running.
Head out on the highway. Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you. Be bold.
Be different.
Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. I'm the founder of Sandstone Realty Advisors. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why would you do that? Well, I help families all across South Florida execute their real estate plans. I recently helped one family in downtown Miami sell their land to one of the big national developers. I helped another client up in Fort Lauderdale. He needed to liquefy his portfolio. We did that for him in less than a month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
If I leave here tomorrow.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right. I am loving my updated view here on Zoom. I want to thank Reagan Mendoza for helping me figure out what lights to buy. My gosh, I look pretty good here, don't I? Can't do much about my face, but at least the lighting is good. Now we're on with my good friend, Manny Johnson. Manny's the founder of Organic Hand. He's been a third generation farmer up in Central Florida, Colorado, across the world. Manny Johnson, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's great to be on the show with you. And I love the way you're helping to educate people about some of the nuances of this brand new industry in
Florida. You know, Manny, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. Everybody thinks it's a gold rush. They're running fast towards everything. But you're one of the original people that was involved in Colorado. It's been kind of a tough pull out in Colorado for folks. What are some of the lessons for Florida that we can learn from Colorado and some of the other states, Oregon, California? You've been everywhere. Tell me what some of the real, you know, at the beginning here, we've got this great thing, this great idea. What do you see is going to happen?
In all honesty right now, Jim, I see survival of the fittest. Number one, if you don't have money in a bank account, you have money in a bank account to operate this through this environment that we're in right now, it's going to be very, very difficult. The world has changed completely in the last 3 months, and there's a new world out there. The people who adapt to that new world, which whenever there's danger, or whenever there's a crisis, there's two things. There's danger and there's opportunity. I see great opportunities in agriculture and hemp. I see great dangers also. The dangers are finances, real estate, everything as we know it, distribution systems. People who had grand ideas in January, those ideas, they've changed radically. And I've seen that throughout the marijuana industry. You can look at the publicly traded stocks that were trading for $300 a share up to a year and a half ago are now down to under $10. So it's like there's been a huge, huge reality check. The reality check is that this plant has been federally illegal for 70 years, 80 years. And it's now coming back on. Hemp is being grown, but we do have this issue with hemp because the farming community can't just grab seeds, like they can corn or soybean or wheat, collards, tomatoes, whatever they're growing, they've got to be able to get a certified seed. And it's very hard to find that because all of a sudden, you know, people are trying to grow it, wanting to grow it. There's a, you know, I would say probably, and this is just the numbers that I've been dealing with in the real world. And I was a member of the Rocky Mountain Hemp Society when that started. Then I was growing hemp in Oregon. I've grown hemp in Austria since 2011. And the Europeans have been growing it very, very, you know, statistically, rigidly, correctly for a long, long time and making products with it. The United States has had fragmentations. Colorado, you could grow it, but you couldn't ship it out of state. It was federally illegal to grow, but it was state legal. Okay, so, you know, now we're looking like Florida. Okay, look at the conundrum we're facing right now. Florida will start accepting applications on Monday, yet the state will not be open until Thursday. How do you accept an application when you're not open? The people that have that have filled out the applications, the quote unquote farmers, which are usually very risk averse people. So don't be expecting Florida farmers to jump into this thing with, you know, both feet, because they're not. They've been hurt financially big time. There isn't a lot of funds available for this. The funds are not trickling down from the federal government to the people who really need them. It's just reality. So Manny, it's going to be tough here.
So Manny, when we had on Jeff from the Florida Hemp Council, he was talking about all the bankruptcies that happened in Colorado. It sounds to me like you're seeing something like that might happen here. How do people, well, let's just start at the beginning. How do people identify whether or not their land is appropriate to farm for hemp, number one? And let's say we've got appropriate land. How on earth are they going to find the seeds that are certified when there's a shortage of said seeds? I mean, and really, we've talked, I'll add a third thing. You advocate using cuttings. So tell me a little bit about all of that. I gave you a half hour of stuff to talk about.
Okay. What you just said is very, very true. The University of Florida is right now, as of this very moment, sending out emails to farmers asking them to participate in more experimentations, because the Department of Agriculture at the University of Florida, which is doing the pilot program with Florida A&M, but Florida, University of Florida is really the principal player here. They're looking for farmers to do more experimentation, meaning to take some 2-acre plots, 3-acre plots, grow certain strains on it, okay? And this letter actually came to me on Monday. I got the email. So we're talking like 2 days ago, Jim.
Okay.
And in the letter, it said, we don't know where the seeds are going to come from, and you're not going to be allowed to sell the product yet. Anything you grow on those acreage, you can't sell. Why would a farmer grow something they can't sell? Why would they even attempt to do something where they don't know where the seeds are going to come from? Makes absolutely no sense to me. And I've got the emails to show anybody who wants to see them, because they're public records. It came out to a whole lot of people, not just me. But I'm a huge advocate of a farmer growing a known product. The only way you're going to get known seeds is through tissue culture. Tissue culture is taking a mother plant and growing a exact genetic duplicate of it, so that you know your entire acreage of plants has this genetics. Otherwise, you're going to end up with seeds. Seeds are a great way if a corn seed, for example, or wheat. Those are very identifiable genetically because they have been used for 100 years. So the genetics behind them are very, very sound. Hemp is not the same animal. There is no lines of hemp seeds that you can buy and plant on 10 acres of land and not go out and look at that 10 acres and find a 2-foot plant, a 6-foot plant, an 8-foot plant, and a 4-foot plant right next to each other. There is no, you've got to, in order to harvest it effectively, in order to grow it effectively, in order to know what you're actually producing, you have to have homogeneity. You've got to know your crop is exactly the same.
Now, Manny,
right now we don't have that.
Manny, when I was in Colorado, you could actually go into the store and buy a clone. That's what you're talking about, right? You go in, you buy the little plant, you plant it and it grows, and it's genetically exactly the same as its parent, versus, like, can't these plants, like, almost mutate in the middle of growing? What, you know, what about that?
Well, there's a whole lot of issues, and these are studies that have to be done, is that, you know, throughout the entire growth cycle of a hemp plant, the THC concentration changes. And that's a major, major factor here. With the federal government, because THC level is, if it's over 0.3% THC, it's not considered hemp anymore. It's hot and it needs to be destroyed.
Now, Manny.
Okay, so it's a very hard thing to do. But Jim, what you were just mentioning, you did not mention you mentioned the word tissue culture clone, not tissue culture. You mentioned the word clone.
Yes.
In Colorado, the clones you were talking about are not agriculturally, that term would not be used. It would be called a plant cutting.
Cutting.
It would be called a rooted cutting. In agriculture, we call something a cutting when you take a mother plant and you take a cutting off of that and you grow that cutting and you root it and you plant it. I'm talking about taking a piece of the genetic material from a primary meristem, a genetically growing area of a plant, taking that into a tissue culture lab and taking a little cutting off of that, growing it in tissue culture so that every one of those plants is an exact DNA clone. The plant you were talking about, the term, you are using the term correctly the way the marijuana industry is using the word clone, but it's not correct through, you know, plant science, botany, agronomy. That is not a clone.
So, Manny, I want to change the direction a little bit. We've got to go to break right here. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about the supply chain of hemp and where the hemp can go from there. We talked about these extraction plants, some fiber plants. You know, what's the future of the hemp and how's it going to get redone, redeveloped, and reprocessed. Can you stick with me and do another segment?
I'd be happy to, Jim.
Thank you so much, Manny. So farmers and people that are interested in hemp, we're going to get down to the bottom of this and figure out where all this is going so you can make money as soon as possible. Reagan, take it away and let's bring it back as fast as we can.
Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, the 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful. You're smart. You are awesome. And you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting. Be strong. Be brave. Be awesome. Be daring. Be kind. Choose kindness.
Amen. Hi, this is Jim Fried. That's right. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Need to sell your urban land? I can help with that too. I have friends and clients all across the country that are just waiting to help you capitalize your real estate transaction. Want to finance your high-rise residential project? Just raised $15 million from an institutional pension fund to do that. That's right. It's different every time because your project isn't the same as everybody else's. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Another one bites the dust.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we are back. We are back with Manny Johnson. Manny Johnson's the founder of Organican. He's got all kinds of nutraceuticals he does with cannabis, and he's been involved with the CBD and marijuana industry for quite some time. Manny Johnson, welcome back to the show. When we left, we were talking about what can we use all this stuff for. There's all kinds of creative ideas out there. Manny, what are you seeing as a real way to get this out of the ground and into the stores? You know the supply chain. What's going to happen?
Jim, I honestly, I think what we've really got to do is we've got to totally focus, and people have all got to come together to help each other. There's a lot of states that have had, you know, have had knowledge and experience is everything in life. You know that. I always go, if I don't know the answer to something, I go to someone who's done this for the longest I can find it, and they've got knowledge and experience. There's nothing like failure to teach you how to become successful.
100%
nothing,
right.
There's nothing like that. And you're talking about farming. Buddy, I'm a third generation farmer. I've had farms on three different continents. I've grown thousands of different species of plants. And the one thing I do know is after you grow them a while, you start to learn the right ways and the wrong ways. Like I said, the marijuana industry and the hemp industry, the cannabis, cannabis is hemp and marijuana. They are both in the genus of cannabis. People need to realize that. Okay. The difference between marijuana and hemp is the THC concentration. Hemp has less than, and this is an international standard. It's not something dreamed up. And the international standard is actually 0.2% THC.
Really?
But the United States allows 0.3. The problems we run into is, you know, we've got to put more money into research. I mean, scientifically documentable research. And we've got to be able to not just have the farmer go out and take his life savings or borrow money from everybody or set up, you know, well, corporations, whatever, IPOs, raising money and go out and, you know, buy seeds from somewhere and then start growing them. Because one thing I have found in working with PhD scientists in growing is that the seeds that are grown in Oregon, California, Colorado, Nebraska, South Carolina, North Carolina, they all are specific to those regions. And just because one is growing in one region, we have positively documented it that you cannot grow strains in different regions. Even in Florida, we believe there's going to be three distinct regions, that there's going to be three climates, basically. And you're going to need strains of seeds for each one of those. And then you also have to decide, is it going to be for oil? Is it going to be for textile? Is it going to be for bioremediation? All of those different projects are going to tell you that you want a different genetic makeup of the seed you're producing. And all that comes with is knowledge, experience, research. The way we're going to do that is getting money from the government to study this, and money from private industry.
There you go. That's what I wanted to say. Sounds to me like it's really a case for Big Pharma at a certain point, because I don't think the government's going to be really focusing on this with their 18% of GDP debt that they're running up this year. So we got to look at Big Pharma. Now, you know, people go, well, what kind of drugs come from plants? Aspirin. You know, aspirin from the willow tree. So we know this stuff works. We know the THC stuff works, because I got friends all over the place that rub it on their knee and feel better before they play tennis, or rub it on their back before they play golf. So we know it works. We know it works on a variety of things. We do need the studies. It is now legal hemp. So when is Big Pharma going to get into this?
I don't know when the magic time is, because it is a, you know, there are, I just see so many opportunities, because there's, you know, the group that I work with, Organican, we have the only USDA certified products that are USDA certified organic to be used on cannabis. Cannabis is hemp and marijuana in the United States. We've had that for the past 5 years.
What kind of products, Manny?
They are organic soil amendments for preparing the soil to accept the seed, fertilizers, and pest inhibitors.
So let's talk about, but I wanted to talk about the fertilizers and the pest inhibitors, because when we had the Jeff Fron from the Hemp Council earlier, he talked about how all these boxes are going to have these, and they do, these QR codes where you can look up the QR code and find out what's inside the thing. Now, Manny, when you've tested some stuff out of Colorado and you've walked through some of the warehouses all over the country, you see different things that we need to test for. What are those kind of things that you found that are impurities?
Heavy metals, arsenic, lead, copper, pesticides, illegal pesticides. Most of our group isn't the only group that's done these studies. The Journal of the American Medical Association for a 5-year period went out and checked. They checked marijuana from legal dispensaries. The state of California has done this. Oregon has done this. So it isn't like this is a small study. The vast majority of the times, it's over 84% of the time, the products contain illegal, unsafe chemicals. And not only that, the labels, you know, you get a QR code, that's a great thing to have. You got a QR code, you scan it, here's what's supposed to be in the box. That doesn't mean what's in the box. And 84% of the time, when you take a sample of CBD, you take a sample of a edible marijuana or a oil from marijuana, 84% of the time, you are not getting what you think you are.
Manny?
The state of Florida's marijuana law has a 15% variance on the label, and that's according to Florida law.
So
how ridiculous is that to have a 15% variation on it on something?
It's a medical, quote unquote, medical product. It's not a pharmaceutical product, which is a nuanced difference there. We could talk about for an hour. So when I walk into one of these verticals in Florida, you mean I'm getting something that may be polluted?
Positively, you are. And, you know, there's no regulations. There's no third-party checking. They send off to third-party labs. I can send you article after article after article of closed lab in virtually every state in the United States where labs have been closed because they were taking kickbacks for giving to give whatever the test results people wanted.
Well, you know, Manny,
that's reality.
You know, Jeff was commenting just a couple minutes ago that the Big Pharma has a 20% variance. So it seems to me like this is maybe a marketing thing or something. But still, I don't think that there should be any variance. It seems to me like it should be very direct. Is it because this is a plant, an agricultural product?
No, it's because again, let's talk about knowledge and experience. You grow, the farmer grows the plant, he sends it off to processing. How many years of knowledge and experience does anybody working in that processing facility have with hemp? I can tell you what they have. Zero. They have none.
So it's sort of like...
the thing is they don't know what they're doing. You have got to have people that know what they're doing with high levels of education. And that's not one of the things you get.
Is there enough of those people out there?
No.
How do we educate them?
Through our university systems.
Somebody have a degree program in this?
One or two states is starting to have state recognized programs, but you could take let's say somebody's a PhD in organic chemistry. He's a student, just got a PhD in organic chemistry from any university.
Okay.
That doesn't mean he can walk into a processing lab and start processing hemp.
Right. Well, actually,
because
we've
he
never
doesn't
talked
have
about
the education what? To do that. But if you get a 35 year retired or get a elderly seasoned knowledge and experience organic chemist, and he can study extraction methodologies, processing methodologies, and he can do that. The group that I work with, and I'm not pushing this group at all, I'm just trying to tell you, when our scientists hear of a 15% variance, they don't understand it. Because, you know, our director of science has had over 30, he's a retired professor, chairman emeritus of a leading university. He does things within 99.99% pure. There's no 15% variance. You can't have that.
Now, let's talk
about... If you're doing anything for human consumption, it's got to be safe.
No, I agree. Now, let's talk a little bit about my perspective on the real estate business, which is a mentorship business. Couldn't hemp farming also be sort of a mentorship business, not just a university-based trial? Isn't it sort of a combination?
Well, sure it can. What I'm hoping that this world will learn from this terrible, terrible virus that has occurred is that we as a society have got to come together. We've got to love each other. We've got to help each other. And the way we do these things is we take, let's take our incubator in the state of Florida and say we're going to grow hemp here. Let's get the best minds in the university system and let's turn them loose. Let's say we're taking the shackles off of you and we're going to allow you to learn about a product that has been a controlled substance for the last 70 years. Okay, let's do that first. And then let's let them produce students and let's let them go to farms and set up co-ops at the farms, so that the students can get postdoctoral education credits for working at that farm.
All right, well,
Germany. Germany's been doing this for, Germany always has done this.
Well, listen, Manny, I appreciate you being on the show. The guys are up above me with the jackhammers, so it's probably a good idea right now. So I appreciate you coming on. I want to thank you. I want to thank Jeff Green for coming on the show. These guys are getting started early up there. They're supposed to wait until 1 o'clock. Thank you so much, Manny. We'll talk offline about all the great ideas you have. I can't wait to learn more about them. Jeff chopped off. So thank you to Jeff. Thank you, of course, to our sponsors, Warren Henry. I want to give a shout out to all of our first responders, Creco AI, our another sponsor, Carlson Internet Integrated, the NFL Alumni Association, the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies, Trakel Brands. Please go to our Facebook page, like our show, tell your friends, join our community, give us feedback and comments, tell us who you want to hear from. Remember to vote for the dog name. I saw Becca's up there for that. We're on Twitter at Jim Freed on Business. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. The website gets thousands of hits a week. My gosh, 5,000-6,000. I'm the man. If you missed today's show, Reagan will have it up on the Freedom Business website ASAP. This is Jim Freed for Freedom Business. Look for us next week right here at noon. We're going to have a great show. We've got one of my good friends, a doctor. We're going to talk about how to stay young with all this testosterone and stuff. We're going to talk more about all this stuff, great mortgage information. So join us next week. And remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. Reagan, take it away. Whoa!